As we continue through our sermon series in the book of Proverbs, you can find, we're beginning in Proverbs 10:10. You can find it in your sermon pamphlet, question outline. All the verses will be there. If you feel like following along in the Bible, you can find that on page 517. That's where we'll be starting. Whoever winks maliciously causes grief, but a chattering fool comes to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for a lack of sense. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. A truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. The lips of the wise spread knowledge, but the hearts of fools are not upright. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the innermost parts. To answer before listening, that is folly and shame. A gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. If someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. A false witness will perish, but a careful listener will testify successfully. An honest answer is like a kiss on the lips. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. Whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart falls into trouble. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back and see you all here again. It's been a couple weeks since I've been here, preaching at least. I have a good friend who, a couple of years ago, his sister got divorced, and it's one of those just really ugly situations with unfaithfulness that ripped the family apart. It was really awful. I knew about it because my friend, the brother, he was really affected by it. He talked to Becky and me about it, and we, you know, prayed about it and kept it to ourselves. And a little while later, another friend of mine who knows the family, I was hanging out with him, and he said, "Hey, have you heard about what's going on with," and then named the couple. And immediately I was uncomfortable, right? What do I say? But this person was a Christian, and he knows the family, so I said a little bit about it, to which he replied, "Oh, is that what you heard? Well, here's what I heard." And then he went on to tell me some salacious details that he'd heard from a friend of a friend who had gotten tied up in the situation. Yuck. Gossip is so gross. I just wanted to change the subject as quickly as possible. I don't think it will shock you if I tell you that gossip is a sin. The Bible has lots to say about it. And we know that it's awful, right? Even if we like gossiping about other people, no one is happy to find out that they have been gossiped about, right? It's a betrayal. It's hurtful. It causes all kinds of problems and conflict. And yet, gossip is a fairly common sin, even among Christians. There's a Christian author named Jerry Bridges. He calls gossip a respectable sin, meaning that it's a sin that many Christians are apathetic about. You know, we look down on the adulterer who breaks up their marriage because of their sin, but we overlook the gossip who damages reputations and stirs up conflict with their sin. And this should not be so. Gossip is a sin that Christians should take seriously. And part of the problem with gossip is that we don't always know when we've crossed the line into sin, right? Like in my story, I wasn't sure if I should have said anything about the situation or when asked or just said, yes, I'm aware, it's terrible, I don't think we should talk about it. You know, often, you know, we talk about mutual friends. We vent about our family members. We criticize our leaders. We talk about the lives of celebrities that we've never met. Is any of that appropriate? Is there a line when it becomes inappropriate? And how do we know that we've approached it or crossed it? Today we're going to look at the book of Proverbs, as we've been doing for a number of months, and today we're going to see what it has to say about this sin of gossip, and it actually has a lot to say, as you've just heard read about this topic. We're going to see gossip described to us, we're going to see the destruction it can bring, what it shows about ourselves, and how we should speak instead of gossiping. And all of this is going to come together for our big idea, our main idea from what Proverbs teaches, that a gossiping tongue reveals a foolish heart that does not care about the well-being of others. Right? What you say is showing what's going on inside of you. A gossiping tongue reveals a foolish heart that does not care about the well-being of others. That's the heart of the problem when it comes to gossip. Knowing this truth is going to help us sort through all the different things that Proverbs says about this. And not only Proverbs, we're going to look at a few other passages in the Bible as well. And as we do, the hope is that we'll be able to ask God to change our hearts, how we can live differently and speak differently. So with all this in mind, we're going to ask a few questions of Proverbs today. The first question is, what is gossip? What is gossip? I think a helpful place to begin as we look for the answer to this is Proverbs chapter 12, verses 22 to 23. See that in there in your bulletin, or you turn to it in your Bible, it'll be on the screen probably too. The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in people who are trustworthy. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. Now last week, Aaron preached on the sin of lying. Spreading lies about somebody is a form of gossip. A lie is an intentional false information intended to deceive. Anytime that you do that, you're gossiping. But gossip can involve spreading true information about people as well. That's what verse 23 is saying. The prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but a fool's heart blurts out folly. Right? It's a foolish person who blurts out these true things that they shouldn't say. There are times that you should know something, that you do know something, you should keep it to yourself rather than foolishly blurting it out. These two verses capture, I think, a basic, simple definition of what gossip is. Gossip is spreading lies about someone or spreading the truth about them that you should not be spreading. You're spreading the truth inappropriately. Spreading lies about someone or spreading the truth in an inappropriate way, in a way you should not be doing it. Now, some of you will remember this, but 20 years ago or so, it was common that when you put a DVD into your DVD player to watch a movie, before you got to the movie, you would have to watch an ad about pirating movies. Remember that? You wouldn't steal a car, would you? Do you remember that, those ads? The tagline at the end was that pirating movies is a crime, right? And lots of people just didn't care. There's this common feeling that it's a victimless crime, right? It's not doing any harm. No one's getting hurt. These multi-billion dollar movie studios won't miss a little bit of money for the DVD. It's a victimless crime, people said. People often feel the same way about gossip. It's harmless. A little gossip is not going to hurt anybody. Now, it's not true that pirating movies is a victimless crime, right? Pirating movies is just straight up stealing something that doesn't belong to you. And maybe worse, this is a side tangent for today. Today, when you go online to pirate a movie, download or stream, all of those websites are connected to organized crime. So your clicks are funding awful things that are happening out in the world. Just know that. Your sinful actions have destructive consequences. The same is true for gossip. When we speak about people behind their backs in gossip, spreading lies, or even spreading the truth in ways we shouldn't, there are negative results. There are destructive results that come from that. And that brings us to our second question. The first one, what is gossip? Spreading lies, spreading truth inappropriately. Second question is, what is the result of gossip? Or what are the results of gossip? Listen to what Proverbs has to say about this in chapter 12, verse 18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Reckless words, words that are spoken when they should not be spoken, they hurt people. This is one of the first results of gossip. People get hurt. This verse in Proverbs 12, 18 isn't speaking only about gossip, but gossip is certainly included in it. Gossip pierces like a sword. It hurts. I mean, just think about the example I used in the opening illustration, the introduction. Imagine going through such a terrible situation and your family being horrified at what's happened and then knowing on top of it all that people are talking about it. Not sadly, not trying to figure out how to help or to pray for your family, but just entertained by the juicy and shocking details. It's awful. So gossip hurts people. Look at also Proverbs 11, 12 to 13. Whoever derides their neighbor has no sense, but the one who has understanding holds their tongue. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. We could compare those verses with Proverbs 20, verses 19 to 20. A gossip betrays a confidence. You see that parallel there? So avoid anyone who talks too much. If someone curses their father or mother, their lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Now, both of those passages say that a gossip betrays a confidence. The passage from Proverbs 11 speaks about someone who derides their neighbor, that is, ridicules or mocks people who are close to them in their lives, ones that they should care for. The passage from Proverbs 20 speaks of someone cursing their parents. In both of those passages, the gossip is speaking negatively of people that they should not be speaking negatively about. Someone who should be able to trust you, you have broken their confidence. You've broken their trust, and that relationship is damaged. Whether those persons have blabbed a secret that you thought they would keep or just spoken of you in a way that they shouldn't have, it damages the relationship. And when Becky worked as a midwife for a number of years, she worked at a certain clinic in Toronto, and the women that she worked with always said, you know, we are, as a midwife clinic, we're a family. We have each other's backs. We're here for each other. We love each other. We're a family. And then as soon as one of the women would leave the room, everyone would start gossiping about them. And Becky wasn't naive enough to think that she was the exception to that rule, right? But when she left, no one talked about her. She had no confidence in the relationships she had with those women. There's no trust. That's what gossip does, right? Gossip erodes trust and damages relationships. So it hurts people, it erodes trust and damages relationships. Look also at Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. Proverbs 17, 9 says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. We talked about this one a couple of months ago when we explored what Proverbs has to say about friendship. Gossip doesn't only hurt and erode trust when it's about you, it causes conflict for other people. If you spread gossip about someone, you can ruin their reputation and affect their other relationships. It's said similarly in a different way in Proverbs 26, verses 20 to 22. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the inmost parts. My extended family goes camping just about every summer, and so every evening when we go camping, evenings that it's not raining, which is more often than we'd like, we all end up sitting around a campfire, like toasting marshmallows, talking. Now, all of my siblings have been trained from a young age about how to get a fire going and how to keep it going. Every evening that we sit around the fire, someone takes the designated poker stick and the plastic plate that we've used for the past 30 years as a fire fan, and our job is when the fire goes out to start poking things around, putting some more wood on it, and keep it going, right? Because even the best fire will die out when the fuel starts to get burned up. And gossip is like adding wood onto a fire. Just stop talking and the conflict will die out. But when you keep feeding it, you're making it worse. You stir up the ember and it gets bigger and lasts longer. And then verse 22, Proverbs 26, 22, which we just read, has a really interesting phrase that's repeated again in 18:8. So it's the same thing in both verses. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. That's a really important truth. It may not be completely obvious at first what it means, but it says gossip stirs up conflict, excuse me, because of what it does to us. Hearing gossip, it can be exciting. It's like a choice morsel, a tasty piece of food that we savor. But it doesn't just stay on our tongue and be tasty. It goes down into our inmost parts and into our gut and just sits there. Have you ever had that feeling of, that tasted good, but I really wish I hadn't eaten that? I think we all have, right? Anytime I've ever eaten at McDonald's. Have you had that feeling about gossip? I wish I hadn't listened to that. It's in my head and I can't forget it, and it changes the way that I see this person. Gossip is not harmless. It's not a victimless crime. Whether it's untrue or whether it's true but not appropriate to spread, it brings destruction, it causes conflict. Now, there's another side of this that we need to think about. You know, most of you know that before I was the teaching pastor here, I was the youth pastor. My very first year as a youth pastor, back in 2008, one of my youth leaders came to me to tell me that one of the youth had told him a secret and made him promise not to tell anyone. But the secret was that her dad was abusing her. And he didn't know what to do. He kept it to himself because he promised to. But then eventually came out. Telling me led to a call to the CAS. And that girl felt, well, that her trust had been betrayed. She felt that she'd been hurt. She felt that it caused conflict in her family that didn't need to be there. All those things that we just talked about, but that was not gossip. It was the right thing to do. So it's not just the negative consequences that make something gossip, right? So we need to ask the question, how do we know the difference? Spreading lies about someone is pretty cut and dry. Don't do that. That's gossip. But what about when it's the truth? When is the appropriate time to speak up about something? That brings us to our third question. How do we know when we should speak the truth about someone? How do we know when we should say something? How do we know when we should speak the truth about someone? A good place to start in answering this question is Proverbs chapter 14, verse 25. 14:25 says, a truthful witness saves lives, but a false witness is deceitful. This proverb is talking about speaking up in court, in a court case, testifying what you know, right? The second half, again, is about lying. Pretty straightforward. If you're lying as a witness, you're deceitful. You're misleading people. But there's only two reasons that you would do that, right? Is if you're lying as a witness, you're either trying to maliciously hurt someone or you're trying to protect someone who's not innocent that should be getting the punishment, right? You're either maliciously trying to hurt the innocent or trying to protect the guilty. We don't need to keep going on that. We talked about lying last week. It's straightforward in this example, but what about the first half of the proverb? A truthful witness saves lives. Now, we've just seen that spreading true information inappropriately can cause awful destruction. There's a time to shut up about what you know and to keep it to yourself because it's not helping anything. But here, speaking up truthfully saves lives. So there's a time to speak up about what you know because it's going to help. Right, that situation in my first year as youth pastor, it was the right thing to do to speak up. It brought protection, hopefully, to a teenage girl who was in danger. And so this question about when is it right to speak up, it really comes down to this. Why are you saying what you're saying? Is it because you care about the person and want to help them, or is it because you don't care about the person and you don't care if your words hurt them? Maybe because you want to hurt them. That's the difference, right? Look at Proverbs 10, verses 10 to 11. Whoever winks maliciously causes grief, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. The mouth of the righteous is the fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Someone who's winking maliciously, it's kind of a metaphor of them speaking in an untrustworthy way. They're doing it to be malicious. They want to cause harm. And that's one of the reasons people gossip, right? The second half of that verse, though, speaks of the second reason. They're just a chattering fool. They just like to talk, and they have no discernment about what they say and when they should keep their mouths shut. They just repeat stories and spread rumors and don't care. That's gossip. The same ideas are summarized in the second half of verse 11. People who are wicked and speak in ways that seem okay. It seems like it's no big deal, just a little harmless gossip, but their words are concealing violence. They're secretly causing destruction. That's what we want to avoid. On the other hand, just before that, the first half of verse 11, we read that the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. The person who is speaking as they should, righteously, their words don't bring violence and destruction, grief or hurt. Their words bring life. Or maybe there are consequences that are negative, but they're doing it because they want to help. They want to bring life, healing, encouragement. So a really practical thing for us to consider is when you're about to repeat a story, check what's going on in your heart. Why? Why do you want to tell the story? These same ideas are repeated in different ways further down in Proverbs 10. We just looked at verses 10 and 11, but in verses 18 to 21 we read, "Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense." When I come home from work in the evening, sometimes I'm really hungry, and I have a wonderful wife who most of the time cooks dinner and cooks really delicious dinners, and I'm very thankful for them. Every once in a while, I come home and dinner's not ready, and I'm just really starving, and I'm not willing to wait for the food that Becky's working on, and I want to get a snack. Becky's usually annoyed by that with me for good reason. I don't care if it's healthy. I don't care if it's nourishing. It's foolish, though, right? I shouldn't settle for something quick that will taste good and then go down in my gut and do me no good. I should hold out for something valuable and nourishing, right? And that's how we should talk to each other. Are your words valuable? Are they nourishing people? Are they bringing help and healing? Or are they foolish, deceitful, and of little value? I don't like to gossip. But one area where I can slip into it is telling funny stories. I like to laugh. And I don't mind people laughing at me. It doesn't bother me. I do a lot of dumb stuff, and you might as well laugh. Missing out on some good jokes if you don't. But I also like laughing at other people for the same reasons. And I don't mean to be malicious when I do. I just think that we're all funny people who do weird and funny things, and that brings me a lot of joy. But I've learned that I have to be careful. Because sometimes when I tell a story about something, when I tell a story about something ridiculous that someone has done or said, I'm belittling them. My words are hurting them. Whether or not my point is to hurt them is sort of besides the point. My words are not nourishing. I'm not honoring that person. Now, this has become really apparent for me as a parent, as my kids grow older. My kids will say something funny, and I'll laugh, and they've started to immediately say, "Please don't tell anyone I said that." What a bummer. I was totally going to tell people they said that. But even more so of a bummer, I don't want them to know me that way. I want them to think that they're safe and not think that I'm just going to repeat things that are going to hurt their feelings to my friends in a sermon. All right, that's gossip. It's words that are without value rather than being nourishing. And what's worse, look again at what Proverbs 10:20 says. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. It's not the words of the wicked that are of little value, it's the heart. We need to check our hearts when we're about to tell a story, because what we're going to say shows the value of what's going on in our heart. So we also need to flip that, right? Not only do we need to check our heart before we speak, but we also need to be able to look at what we say and examine our hearts as a result. What does this reveal about our hearts? And that brings us to the next question. What does our speech reveal about our hearts? What does our speech tell us about what's going on inside of us? What does our speech reveal about our heart? We're going to jump to the New Testament a little bit. Matthew chapter 12, verses 33 to 35. Listen to what Jesus says in these verses. It's not going to be on the screen, but you can look it up in your Bible or just listen. Matthew 12, 33 to 35. Make a tree good and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Now Jesus is saying our words aren't insignificant. They matter, because they show what's in our hearts, whether that's malicious deceit or just a delight in shocking or funny stories without concern for how the people in those stories are being hurt. Jesus says the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And then he goes on in the next couple of verses, in verses 36 and 37, and says this, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." So let's make sure that we've connected the dots here. Your words show what's in your heart. It's the evidence. And on the day of judgment, when God judges our sin, these so-called harmless, respectable sin of gossip will be used as exhibit A to condemn us as sinners before God. I don't think we take that seriously enough. When Jesus says this, guys, he's talking to the Pharisees. If you've been around church long enough, you know enough to know that the Pharisees are the bad guys in the story of Jesus, right? They're the ones who take him to the Roman authorities because they want to get him crucified. But what we often forget is that the Pharisees are the religious people. They're the people that are like us, the people who think, I don't have to worry about the day of judgment. I belong to God. And Jesus says to these self-assured religious people, a tree is recognized by its fruit. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. Listen, the gospel of Jesus Christ is true, and it's good news for sinners. It's good news for adulterers. It's good news for lazy people. It's good news for people who give in to their anger. It's good news for people who are prideful. It's good news for people with no self-control. It's good news for liars, and it is good news for gossips. Your sin deserves condemnation by God in hell for eternity. But God loves you so much that he sent his son to live the life that you could not have lived, right? We've talked about this in Proverbs, how Jesus is wisdom incarnate. He lived his entire life always speaking properly, never lying, and always telling the truth in the right way. Sometimes intensely, right? But always for the right reasons. He lived the life that we were not able to live, perfect and wise. And then he died the death that we deserve to die on the cross for our sins, taking the condemnation that we should have been ours. And then he rose from the grave, bringing the resurrection that's going to belong to all those who put their faith in Jesus. He defeated sin and death in victory as the first fruits of what's true for all of us who put our faith in Jesus. This is the good news that each and every one of us needs to know, to hear, to believe, to put our hope in. And if you haven't, I would beg you, I'd urge you today to do so. You are a sinner who is still loved by God. And if you put your trust in Jesus, you'll be saved from your sins. For all who are in Christ, there is no condemnation, though we deserve it. But being a Christian, it's not just about checking a box saying that you believe these things, right? Real faith in Jesus involves following Jesus as your king. You turn from your sin and repentance and you run to him. And that's something that we all struggle to do, right? None of us are perfect. We all sin. But everyone who's put their faith in Jesus has been saved by him. We have the Holy Spirit of God in us, changing us to be more like Jesus. So the question on the table that we all need to consider, people who've been Christians their whole lives, people who aren't, the question that we need to consider is, do your words show a heart that is being slowly but surely transformed by the Holy Spirit to be more like Jesus? Or do your words show a heart that is still dead in its sin? That is a question that's too important for us to try and answer just all on our own for ourselves. We are too easily deceived by our own actions, our own motivations. We slip into apathy. We fall into despair when we're struggling, right? Because we all do struggle. And that's why Jesus didn't just save people as individuals and then tell them to go off by themselves and figure it out. He saves us and then gathers us into the church, which brings us to our final question that we need to ask from God's Word, New Testament, and some Proverbs about gossip. How should we speak about one another in the church? What is this going to look like for us? Right, when God saves us and he gathers us into his church so that we can grow with other Christians, he gives us commands about how to do so. Go be taught my word, right? Listen to preaching. Get baptized. Take communion. Do these physical things that are a promise of what's true, a blessing from God. Pray together. Pray for one another. And hold each other accountable. Ephesians chapter 4:15 tells us that we grow together in Christ as we speak the truth in love to one another. Speak the truth in love to one another. Later on in the same chapter in Ephesians 4:29, we read, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So that's how we should speak to one another in the church, not gossiping, but not keeping quiet either. Speaking the truth in love to build one another up according to their needs. Jesus gave us the model of what that looks like back in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 to 20 says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen, you have won them over. Hey, if you see your brother or sister in Christ sinning, that's not the time to gossip about them. And it's not the time to keep your mouth shut and mind your own business either. It's the time to go to them one-on-one and speak the truth in love. Say, hey, I care about you. Like, when we see sin in people, we tend to do either, I'm just going to ignore it, I'm going to tell somebody else about it and gossip, even if that's talking to a pastor, right? That's not what Jesus commands us to do. Or we go and criticize them for it, right? We're harsh, we're mean. But Jesus says, no, speak the truth in love. Go and talk to them because you love them. Call them out because you care about them. Ask questions about it. See what you can say. And if this person is a believer in Christ, the Holy Spirit working in them, 9 times out of 10, they will be thankful for that. We need to do that well together. But sometimes they won't take the nudge well, and it won't go well. And so Jesus continues in verse 16, but if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So you say, no, I'm not going to start gossiping at this point. I'm not going to start ignoring at this point. I'm going to gather another person or two with me, and I'm going to go and I'm try and talk to them again. Show them that this matters. We can't just live however we want to. Jesus is our king, and we need to show what our hearts are doing by the way that we live and speak and act. This matters. I love you too much to let this go. Hopefully that works. They're thankful. The nudge, the Holy Spirit uses that to convict them and they turn from their sin. But what if it doesn't? Verse 17, Jesus says, if they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. Right? Now, again, that doesn't mean I'll start spreading the rumors around the church, right? All right, well, now everyone needs to know. It means what's the appropriate avenue for saying we need to get more people involved in this. Our church needs to know that this person is walking in sin and not following the Lord, and we need to love them enough to pursue them and call them out on it in love. You know, our church follows a long tradition of how churches have done this at member meetings, right? It's part of what you sign up for when you become a member. It's in our membership covenant that you need to expect this is going to happen if you're not walking with the Lord faithfully. And then Jesus says, bring it to the church. The church isn't supposed to be gossiping about it and talking about it all over the place, but praying, pursuing the person, talking to the person in love, hoping they turn from their sins, celebrating when they do. But what if the sinning Christian doesn't turn from their sins at that point? Well, Jesus says, and if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you that if two or three of you agree on earth about anything you ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with you. Because if the sinning Christian won't turn from their sins, then the church takes the heavy responsibility, right? Jesus says, where you're gathered to do this, I'm there with you with my authority. It's a heavy responsibility of speaking the truth in love in a new way, of saying, listen, the evidence of your life does not line up with what it should be, and we don't recognize you as a Christian. At one point we did, but in this stage we don't. In our church, and traditionally churches will then remove the person from membership, ask them not to take communion with them. I hope you'll come to church. I hope you'll be part of what's going on here because we love you, but we love you too much to let you just continue on thinking that everything's okay. This process of pursuing Christians in sin is the most important way that we speak the truth in love to one another as a church. It's not a pleasant process, right? It unearths conflict. It brings hurt feelings of betrayal of trust. And in our individualistic culture, it feels like gossip. It doesn't feel loving. But Jesus gave us this framework to help us protect each other from falling away into sin. And for sure, there are ways that we can do it wrongly. For example, Proverbs 18:13 says, to answer before listening, that is folly and shame. And we jump to conclusions about people. We only speak the truth after we've listened well and carefully and prayerfully. But done well, this is exactly what God calls us to do, to speak the truth in love to one another. Protect us from our tendencies to lie to ourselves rather than confess our sins truthfully. Because Proverbs 28:13 says this, whoever conceals their sins does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. This is the goal, right? Blessed is the one who always trembles before God, but whoever hardens their heart will fall into trouble. So when you see something, when you have a story to share, think deeply about what this means. When you see your brother and sister in sin, remember Proverbs 14:25 says a truthful witness saves lives. That's what God calls us to do for one another. But a false witness is deceitful. Why do you want to talk about this? Are you foolishly babbling? Do you not care about the person? Are you willing to do the hard things, speak the truth in love because you do love them, because you do care about them, because you do want to help, because you do want to save their lives? Truthful witness saves lives. False witness is deceitful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you say in your word that a perfect man can bridle their tongue. None of us are able to do it perfectly. We are going to sin with our tongue in so many ways. We're going to cause hurt, speak when we shouldn't speak, bring destruction. And Lord, for that we are sorry. We want our speech to reflect what you're doing in our hearts. So we pray that you would work in us to help each other, to hold each other accountable, to growing in this area, to not allow gossip to go unchecked, to be Be very careful about what we say about one another and make sure it's only building each other up, nourishing, worthwhile, and not tearing people down, bringing destruction, just foolish babble. Use us, Lord, in each other's lives as you work in us by your Holy Spirit. For this we pray. In Christ's name, amen. But let me, as our benediction, read to you part of this passage from Ephesians 4 again. Ephesians 4 is speaking of how we grow together as the church, and in that context he says, then, this is Ephesians 4:14, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. It grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. May that be true of us, that we speak the truth of love in love to each other and grow together in Christ and honor him. May God bless you with that as you go.